Skyline Studios.
And it's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. I totally forget that you wipe your microphone down. The second time I turned
it
on.
Again?
No, I did it again. I turned your microphone on while you were scrubbing. She scrubs down,
God,
Scott.
It was so funny.
Scott Santis joins us in studio.
Always practice safe mic. That's
I do it. I do it every night. Seriously, you know what? And now I do it three times because I come into the newsroom. So I sign onto my desk and I do it there. And then I sign onto the anchor station in there. And then I come in and do it here. So if all the wipes are missing, it's because of me.
That's completely
help?
Fine.
Yeah.
It helps.
Helps me.
There you go. We can't start it again, Scott. We did an hour on
Monday. Okay, sorry. I'm backing off. Well, I'm backing off, man.
I was telling Scott a story before we came in. I wasn't sure if I should talk about this on the air or not. By the way, again, it's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And thank you again to Dave Lundy, who's coming in a little bit. I got to go to the Cubs game. You know what? It's not the best way to see a game when they lose that big.
But you saw a lot of scoring.
Any day you can spend at Wrigley at a baseball game, is a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Although it rained.
It rained, yeah, but we were underneath, so we were fine. We did not get any of the rain.
Okay, that's good.
Scott and I were talking. So last night I was having a little snack before I went to bed. Because our friend Belinda Chang was in studio the other night, she was talking about chilled vodka with caviar, and because I don't have access to caviar all the time, I thought I'd have
what?
Some cream
that's
cheese.
Sweet, sweet WGN money?
I know. So I decided I would have some smoked salmon and cream cheese, which seemed like the next best thing. So I often will have, you know, after the show, a glass of wine or something. So I don't know why I have to tell you that the alcohol was involved, but I do think that, you know, maybe I would have made better choices. When I made my way to the kitchen, all the lights are off. I don't turn them on because the boy's room is like right by the kitchen, and when Declan sees the lights on, it sometimes wakes him up, and he's like, oh, we're playing, and I don't want to be in bed anymore. So I was walking in the dark, as I often do in my own kitchen, not realizing that Steve had put a box in front of the stove. It's a table that we bought for Declan for the kitchen. It's sort of an easier table for him to sit at. And so I didn't know it was there, and I tripped over the edge of it and planted my face right on the corner of the stove. And the first thing I tasted was salt, so I knew I was bleeding. But the first
wasn't the caviar.
No, so I started. It was drippy. First thing I did is I checked my teeth because I was.
Oh
like,
my God! I always do that if I fall too.
Yeah,
I check my teeth.
I checked all my teeth to see if there was anything loose or anything like that. And I was like, all right. So I went into the bathroom and just blood coming out from the outside and the inside of my nose. I don't know if I broke my nose or not.
It's a little swollen.
There's a lot of makeup on my face right now, too. Yeah, a lot of makeup. So Steve felt awful, by the way. He feels just terrible. Well, because, you know, we've had this box in our house for a week, and I asked him to put it together, and
he won't do it?
One of the steps was to put it in the kitchen where it's going to live, and then it was left in front of the stove, and I didn't see it. And so I don't think it's not his fault. It's, you know, a number of circumstances led to my face, but I saw a flash.
If there really is a Steve.
Saw a flash of white, though. That was the scariest thing.
That's
was that my face bounced off of the stove.
Oh.
And it's weird what you bump into in the dark, too. Like in the middle
bumping.
Of start stuff that you like, you know, what you wipe out on, you smash your face on, whatever.
Oh, stubbing your toe is the.
Oh my God,
that's the most jarring thing.
I came up the stairs the other night in the dark again because it's like 1:30 in the morning, and I slashed my arm on the top of the banister. How many times you walk down the banister? And now I got this big gash in my arm from the stupid banister.
Oh, boy.
I know. Stupid things you do in the dark.
Well, now, Scott, you said that you you asked me if I was mad at Steve. Or
yes.
Or if Steve was mad at me for falling over.
Yes.
Why would Steve be mad at me for falling over?
Well, because we had a similar experience where we were doing something maybe we shouldn't have been doing. Alcohol was also involved.
Oh, boy.
And I climbed through a window and hit my head.
Oh, yes.
And I turn around and I touch my head. I go, ow, that really hurt. And I touch my head. I go, that really hurt. I touch my hand is full of blood. I go, oh, hell. I touch, use the other hand. That gets full of blood. I'm going, well, I'm out of hands. And so I come back through the window and you're there and you're going.
And you were there.
It's going to be okay.
There.
I'm like, what?
Yes. Yeah, Andrea, I was at this particular situation, Andrea, and Griffin is. Steve had both climbed through a window, and
Scott.
Oh, sorry, I'm sorry, Scott.
There is no Steve.
Yeah, there's no Steve. Scott, my son, had climbed through a window, and I see blood dripping on Scott's face, and all I could think was, "Is Griffin okay?"
Yeah. So she's and Janina is mad that we're doing things we probably shouldn't have been doing anyway, and so she just stayed pissed off. It was the weirdest thing.
I know,
so that's why
still,
I asked.
Well, the injury, yes, but Steve's not mad at. Yeah, no. No. Yeah. No. Sorry. No. Once, I don't think he is.
Once you open a vein, you should the anger should go away. Yes. And you should,
I agree.
No.
I agree. So, what are your plans for the weekend, Andrea?
Working at the TV station.
Oh, that's right. You have to. And this is a nice early night for you.
Oh, thank God. I know. It's a night where I can actually sleep more than 2.5 hours, which is fantastic. So, news tomorrow. And then, actually, we're checking out on Common Ground on Sunday.
Oh, great.
And there's like a new rooftop garden.
This is the one
organic.
On.
Yeah, yeah.
On Clark, right?
Remember? Okay, so on Common Ground used to be this little tiny coffee shop with open mic night, and now it's turned into like half the block, which is really cool.
Yes. They have a microbrewery, right?
Yes. Yeah. There's a bigger one now, too, I think, on Montrose.
I was wondering, because I walked by one on Clark. I was like, is this on Common Ground, or is the other one on Common Ground?
They both are. That was the original.
I was so confused, yeah. I've never been. I walk by it all the time. On Common Ground's is coffee house. Is it a coffee house, or is it coffee?
It started out as coffee, but now the one on Montrose has like dinner and brunch, and there's always lines to get in, so it's really cool. It's kind of developed into a little local gem.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
I look forward to seeing that piece you guys are doing.
How about you?
I am interviewing a caregiver for Declan tomorrow. I'm kind of excited about.
Oh, is this the one that you're
excited. Yeah, she has a degree in psychology, or she's studying psychology at the University of Chicago, and she has a lot of experience with children and adults with disabilities. She worked at Misericordia, and she has a brother with cerebral palsy, so she's
she knows. Yeah.
Yes. So we've not had a caregiver for Declan in 3 years.
Oh wow, this would be good.
It's a bigger issue for Steve. He gets no breaks, really. He has not, because I'm out and I'm working and stuff, and he's the stay at home dad.
Right.
So fingers crossed. But that's the big thing for the weekend. Scott, what are you up to this weekend?
I'm lecturing at my church.
Oh,
I think that's about it.
What's lectering?
What is lectering? It sounds like Hannibal Lecter.
I was going to.
That was why I was like, wait a minute, what's lectering?
Okay, are these Catholic girls? They are.
No.
Okay.
Me, I'm not Catholic.
I'm not either.
I know. I know. Obviously. No, the lecturing is the reading.
Oh, okay. Lovely.
So,
are you reading a particular passage, or is it?
I think so. I'm supposed to. I haven't studied.
Sorry. Do turn it bright.
But I lecture the hell out of it.
Oh, excellent. More after this when we come back on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. You know, one of the great things about being out a little bit earlier is that you get to interview a wider range of people. Fortunately, though, we also already had a great group of people that used to be on my show when we were on pretty late. For those of you who don't know, this is the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And joining us in the studio is Scott Stantis, who is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. And he's part of the editorial board as well. Adam Selzer, who is an author, historian, and tour guide in Chicago. Long list of things that he does, both from previously from my show. But the nice thing is that then, because we're on earlier, we interview such a wide range. We had Lori Lightfoot on this week.
She's
and Scott
great.
Did a cartoon today of all the candidates who are raising their hand to be in the race.
Yes.
Ten of them.
Was it like a two-page spread?
I don't show any of them. I show their hands.
Oh, okay. Yes. Raise your hand if you want to run for mayor.
No, raise your hand if you have a vision of Chicago that's something other than I'm the mayor.
And then they all put their hands down.
Never mind.
Did it go with the cartoon you did with the plane that Donald Trump, President Trump, wants to redesign?
That had a pretty good. I didn't get a lot of support from the paper, frankly, but I got a good response. Got about 60 or 70. We're posting them online, so go to chicagotribune.com/Stantis, and we set up a gallery, and you can see what people sent in. Some we couldn't put in even online.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Are they part of your private collection now?
Well, a lot of swastikas.
No. Weren't you going to put up, like, what color Air Force One should be?
Yes.
Or not what color, but what design.
Yes. Well, and they did. Did you hear he's told them that it's going to be red, white, and blue.
And I think
like the French flag.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
I thought it was more like the Dutch.
That too.
What color is the Russian flag?
Red and yellow.
No, it's red, white, and blue.
It's red, white, and blue.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because it's now the new. I'm sorry, I still have a little yellow sickle in my head.
And that's where cartoonists are going. Cartoonists are being stupid about drawing Russia as they draw a hammer and sickle, which has not been around for 20 years.
What you thought.
Rocky IV.
Yes, but don't you think, yes. Don't you think that the reference people are making to the hammer and sickle, though, as we remember it, because Vladimir Putin was part of the KGB.
During the Cold War.
He was an intelligence officer. And so, I mean, there is that sort of crossover.
They do seem like the evil empire again, you know.
A little bit.
After about 20 years of seeming like lovable losers, they're back to seeming like the evil empire.
Yeah, when you're shooting down passenger planes and poisoning people and executing
Ukraine and Syria. But say them all.
Say them all.
Remember, I did a news story last night.
Yeah, someone's like, what about this? And I don't even know where that text went. It was on my Facebook Messenger.
Yeah, it was a news story, and we just were talking about some of the things that Vladimir Putin has, you know, negatively been involved in, namely Syria activities. Ukraine.
Killing journalists, which kind of hits close to home.
I said was Syria and Ukraine, and then someone texted and said, I should list everything that he's done. I'm like, well, I only have 30 seconds. It's a 30-second headline cast. So
is he coming back to get the keys to Alaska? Is that what the meeting this fall is going to be about?
Yeah. Here it's
they actually controlled it, just
God,
for those of you
there
who
was more.
Remember.
Seward's folly.
There was more. Putin's not isolated because of his activities. It's because he runs a crime syndicate that bribes, blackmails, and kills its enemies. That's why it's a slight against the international community to normalize him with a White House invite.
Oop, time's up for news. We don't have that much time.
And that last part isn't news either.
Right.
Yes.
It was like an editorial.
How about just saying international crimes for Russia, like poisoning people? Yeah, that's what I was saying.
And invading Ukraine.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's the same thing like Scott. Scott probably gets like people sending him messages like, why didn't you draw this?
Oh, no.
Or why don't you draw it this way?
All the time. Whenever I do, never mind. Because I get like, why don't you? You never made fun of Hillary. I'm like,
holy cats.
Holy crap cakes. I made a career out of that.
Yeah, she's like a very squat sort of,
fun to draw.
Very Angela Merkel-ish kind of.
Yes. Would you say today? Yes.
You never made fun of Obama. Oh, my God.
Oh,
my God.
I know. Or you never make fun of Rahm.
Never, ever make fun of Rahm.
We can't do anything right. Any complaints about your cartoons this week besides...
The NRA was not happy. I've never actually taken on the NRA before. But
really?
The fact that they allowed a Russian spy to infiltrate...
Well, are they ever happy?
The NRA?
They always seem like such a joyless bunch.
Yeah, they really do. But do you know how they found her out?
I'm curious, yes.
There was a guy, he was at an NRA function. He was an much older gentleman. He even describes himself as old, balding, and doughy.
Right.
And she's flirting with him. And he wants to say, he says, what the hell is this? I mean, seriously, look at me.
he got the alarm bell started going off for him because he just figured that she was trying to get something other than...
That's part of the story. Isn't that great?
No, I had no idea. So he like alerted somebody?
He said, what?
Right.
And so then they started to go and find out who she was, what she was.
Andrea, your cartoon for
The NRA. It's a Russian bear.
Wow.
And it's a really good drawing, too. I really worked hard on it.
It's a very good drawing.
And so and the bear's wearing a t-shirt saying, I'm the NRA and I vote.
He's got a little Russian hat on.
Yes. But if you notice, they still have a star in their hat. I researched this. But it's...
Oh, yeah.
They still do. So if I get any grief,
I'm
covered.
Hi. I'm sorry.
You just knocked out.
Patty passed out from her head wound.
I was getting an echo again. I'm getting an echo in my headphones again.
Oh, no.
You guys aren't getting the echo?
No.
No.
All right.
No.
Uh-oh.
I'm feeling kind of crazy. Can you send an engineer in here? Because I'm getting an echo.
Is it the head wound?
I'm sure I hit some button again because Ro keeps his screen.
Oh, my God, right?
Right here. So I'm sure I'm not going to move anything.
Don't move anything.
I'm talking very slowly.
I bet it's hitting the screen is hitting the board.
But you're not getting an echo on your end.
No.
I'm the only one hearing an echo. Okay.
I'm just
going to live here for a moment.
Maybe
it's feeling kind of trippy.
Maybe it's the band, which, by the way, how cool was that?
They were great.
The first time I heard a band on our soundstage, which was so cool.
Oh, how was that?
They were great. We're going to check the text screen and see how listeners felt because it was some
like
loud music.
They were like a hard rock band, yeah.
Yes. This is trippy, man.
This is what, when the Lord comes. Hey, Patty, have you been good?
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. I don't know what it could be that I'm hitting over here, but we'll figure it out.
Like, just real quick, when you think of God, so you just made the God reference, and I thought Morgan Freeman. Is there any actor that you think of as God?
As God?
Yeah.
George Burns.
Okay. George Burns. Remember that?
Yeah, I love that with John Denver. Have you ever seen that one, Scott?
Yes, of course. You're talking about my people. That's my generation.
Was that the first sequel, or was it Godfather? There was Oh God, a movie that had sequels.
Ooh, what an interesting trivia question.
There was.
What was the first movie to ever have a sequel?
Yes,
it can't be. It can't be the first. No, because there were several movies of the.
Not a remake, but a sequel.
No, but Myrna Loy and William Powell had a series of detective. That would be a series.
The Thin Man.
Thin Man.
There's Gold Diggers of 33. Gold Diggers of 34.
Yeah.
Etc.
I'm going to take a break because the voices in my head are very strange. More after this on 720 WGN. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis. The Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Joining us is Adam Selzer, who is one of Chicago's best tour guides. He's also an author and a historian.
I do all kinds of neat stuff.
You do all kinds of neat stuff. Well, you wanted to make sure people knew about
I have a really cool Graceland Cemetery tour that I'm going to be running tomorrow. It's one of my favorite tours that I run. 11 o'clock. You go to mysterioschicago.com. It'll link you right to it. It's one of my favorite cemeteries. It's one of those places, it always seems like autumn in that cemetery, even when it's 95 degrees outside. Or even when there's snow on the ground. It just has that autumnal feeling, and there's so many great things, and I'm always finding new stories too. I like to go beyond just like what you'll find on Wikipedia. There's a detective in there who was murdered by Jesse James, and nobody knows about it. There's a guy who was buried on the day of the Great Chicago Fire that didn't make it into a history book until about a year ago.
Wow.
You know, lots of fascinating stuff.
Is it Laredo Taft, the one with the big, it looks like he was the sculptor.
He was the sculptor. It does look like, they call it the Statue of Death. It's officially called Eternal Silence. I think it was supposed to be Father Time, but our whole image of the Grim Reaper is based on images of Father Time anyway. So six of one, half a dozen.
That's really the
probate file for that. For those of you who don't know, there's this statue at Graceland Cemetery was built by a guy named, it was built for the guy, a guy named Henry Graves, who came here, came here with his dad in the 1830s. His probate file is quite a ride. He put aside, it ended up being the $250,000 in 1907 money for that statue to be built.
Really?
Yeah. Which I don't think they used all of it either. They couldn't have used, that's a lot of money in those days. But you know, Taft also did the Fountain of Time statue, which is down in Washington Park, which has a very similar figure to it, around the same time. So I think some of the money might have ended up going to that. Also because Graves in his will also had put aside money for a statue of his favorite racehorse to be built in Washington Park, and it never got built, but would have been right where the Fountain of Time is now.
That's the statue you're talking about?
Yeah, isn't it eerie?
Yeah.
So cool.
In the 60s, an architect named Klaus Oldenburg made a whole drawing for a design for a 1,000-foot-tall skyscraper on Michigan Avenue that would have looked just like that statue.
Come on. He
would have had like this, you know, I think it was just an intellectual exercise, not something he actually thought he was going to build, but a 1,000-foot-tall Grim Reaper on Michigan Avenue. How cool would that have been?
And how expensive.
That's their problem.
Yeah. It would have been converted into luxury condos by now.
For all of the richest goths.
Yeah. Right.
Totally, now, yeah. Now, there's still spots on your tour tomorrow?
There's a lot of spots on my tour tomorrow.
Okay, what time
is it? It's a nice open one. It is at 11 o'clock.
At 11?
11 o'clock, Graceland Cemetery. Go to mysterioschicago.com. That'll give you all the information.
I didn't realize how many, like, is it Marshall Field?
Marshall Field is out there, yeah.
Yeah.
Montgomery Ward, I think, is at Roseland, right?
I think he's at Rose Hill, yeah. I think he's in the mausoleum out there. Mr. Sears is in there, too.
Yeah, well, didn't they, like, weren't they trying to outdo each other?
I would think they would have some nice gang fights. You know, luckily, Mr. Armor of Armor Hot Dogs is at Graceland. Oscar Mayer is at Rose Hill. Think of the gang fights they could have had after hours if they were in the same cemetery.
Yeah, no
like
kidding.
Zombie hot dog wars.
Right. Ketchup monster.
I don't wish I was an Oscar Mayer wiener.
What kind of man makes Armor hot dogs?
This is kind of a crazy question. Are there still plots available there, or do you have to
There are still plots available there, yeah, at Graceland Cemetery. As I understand, it's kind of hard to get two next to each other anymore. But there are still plots available there, at that point.
And it's like
anywhere else, the lakefront, the pond front, waterfront property, I think it goes for more.
Right.
And doesn't Rose Hill have an extension of the cemetery on the other side of?
Yeah, Rose Hill has a lot of space available. They still do like 100 burials a year or something at Rose Hill.
There's a cemetery in my neighborhood up in Jefferson Park, right off of Higgins. It's weird. I forget that it's there all the time because it's just in the middle of the neighborhood. It's like a little hill. I've never really thought much of it until I drive by it again. I'm like, oh, I should check out what that is. And I have to. We'll have to talk about it sometime because I'm curious.
Do you know which one it is?
As I'm saying.
I don't there's a few out there around Jefferson Park. Like the you're not too far out there from the old Dunning Cemetery.
What's
at Irving and Narragansett. It was the city's Potter's Field for years. It's where the unmarked, unidentified bodies from the Great Chicago Fire were. There were like 40,000 or something overall, or tens of thousands. But then the city forgot it was there until the 1980s.
Oh.
When they started building luxury housing on the grounds.
Imagine their surprise.
And guess what they found? And now they have like they call it the Dunning Memorial Park set aside in the middle of the luxury housing. It is possibly the most depressing park on the planet. Leslie Knope would cry walking through this place.
Look, there's Union Ridge Cemetery. Is that it?
Union Ridge sounds right. Is that Higgins?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be like Higgins near Foster.
Yes.
That was right. Yep. So there you go. That's the one that's right in the middle of my neighborhood.
All right. I'll do some research.
You know, because like Alphonsus on Milwaukee Avenue is huge.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on and on. There's like a road down the middle. I used to walk. So when we were talking earlier about how much I like cemeteries, I used to walk from my house through that cemetery all the way to the Brown's Chicken that I worked at on Waukegan and Milwaukee Avenue.
Yeah.
So probably about a 3-mile walk. But that was my shortcut, was to walk through the cemetery.
Yeah.
Every day.
I guess on the surface it would kind of creep me out, but I see people walking there all the time because obviously it's quiet, it's peaceful, and
there's always stuff to read.
A lot of cars, yeah. There's always stuff to read.
I think it's beautiful the way people want to memorialize or remember somebody forever.
Yeah.
You know, there's something wonderful. It's this expression of love that I really enjoy. People think of it as death.
It leaves you wondering, too, where my grandma was buried at Evergreen Park Cemetery. I know there's a whole, you know, history there, too. We would always, you know, go leave her flowers on, you know, certain, you know, her birthday and whatnot. And there was always this huge mausoleum, and it said, it was two friends who were buried there, and it said their names, and then it said, they met tragic death together.
Oh, dear.
And I always wanted to, like, see the person who was laying flowers so I could be like, how did they die? What happened? You know, I'm just so curious.
Okay, you know, that's exactly the kind of mystery I like to solve.
Oh, all right, I'm going to give you the info.
Give me the info, I'll figure out, I'll find out all about it, yeah.
Yes.
A listener just texted that Union Ridge Cemetery is fascinating. I'm like, do tell. Why is it fascinating? It's a very quirky little cemetery. It's the kind of thing you would see driving through a small town rather than the north side of Chicago.
Are there big monuments? Are they all stones?
No, it looks kind of charming and small in the middle of my neighborhood.
Probably started out as a family plot or something.
Maybe, I guess. It's not that small, but I'm fascinated.
I don't know too much about that one.
I don't know anything. We'll have to do some investigating.
All right, more mysteries to solve. I love that.
Yes.
So that's one of the things I love about doing cemetery tours is I can always find a new grave to look up, and I can always find new stories to find. New stories to tell, new mysteries to solve, or even looking up like where somebody's epitaph came from.
Right.
And we don't have a lot of like, you know, in older cemeteries like the 1700s ones you see in New York, you see a lot of doggerel verses like, and when the Lord sees fit to end my time, with thy beloved dust I shall mingle mine. We don't get a lot of that.
Whoa.
There is one that I found it's on several of them, on all of my tours here. There's a verse you see is, until the day breaks and the shadows flee. Which is a biblical verse, and if you read, it's from the Song of Solomon. It's the sex book in the Bible. So the full verse, depending on translation, is something like, until the day breaks and the shadows flee, turn to me, my beloved, and be like a wild elk among the rugged hills. It's like, this is on a number of graves. Like, all right, Philo Otis Adams.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. So
I love that you remember all that.
Yeah.
I have to remember a lot of these things.
Yeah, the graveyards in Chicago segregated by religion, because up in Madison, near my high school, there's a graveyard in one side of the street, Randall Street. It was Catholics, the other side Protestants. Do they have that here?
Often, well, not necessarily. Graceland and Rose Hill were both private cemeteries. Anybody who wanted to could be buried at those. But a lot of times, Catholics would have their own cemetery. Like, officially, if you're Jewish, you're supposed to be buried with other Jews. Though, at the cemeteries, it's up to you how observant you want to be. I mean, Graceland's not going to make that rule for you.
Okay.
There you go. There are cemeteries that are segregated in a lot of communities by, you know, whether it's ethnicity or religion, though, too.
Yeah.
Like parts of the cemetery within the walls of it.
You'll see places where you'll notice like a lot of Germans together. And it wasn't really a formal thing necessarily. I think it was just like a whole bunch of people from the community bought plots in the same place.
Right, that makes sense. Yeah.
It's cool, too, if there's
and you also find like there's spaces around Rose Hill where you see a lot of firefighters.
Yeah.
There's one section where I talk about this woman who was on stage the night that Lincoln was shot is buried at Rose Hill. Right next to her, there's another actor from the same period named Fred Wildman.
Okay, now how do you find this out? Like, do you
tons and tons of research.
Okay.
Well, with Catherine Evans, who was on stage when Lincoln was shot, I never would have thought to look it up. It's just a very nondescript gravestone. But I took a guy on an H.H. Holmes tour a while ago who was a Booth family expert, John Wilkes and Edwin Booth, and he knows everything about everybody who was on stage that night, everybody involved in the whole thing, and he wanted to go up to, he asked if I could take him up to Rose Hill so he could look for this one, and also I know Mary McVicker, who was Edwin Booth's widow, is buried there as well, so John Wilkes Booth's sister-in-law is at Rose Hill.
That is wild.
And well, what I do is Edwin persuaded her to get on stage with him. She was the daughter of a theater family at McVicker's. They had a theater on Madison up until like the 1970s. And he persuaded her to play Juliet to his Romeo. And while we're at her grave, I read some of the Chicago Tribune's review of her debut.
Not which good or was, good?
They tried to be very polite, but it's just brutal.
Oh,
wow.
I almost feel bad reading it.
Yeah, all right. Adding insult to injury.
I mean, she's past the point of caring, of course.
But well, I wonder what the rest of her career was like.
She actually had a pretty good career. Yeah? She was on stage for years after that. So maybe the Tribune was just being snotty about the fact, oh, the theater owner's daughter gets to play Juliet now.
Oh, boy. Or maybe it was like her Ishtar. I mean, it wasn't what, like her one day.
Well, I think one of the lines is she may find a leading role on the stage, but not in such roles as Juliet.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. So what are some of the things that people can expect? Like, how long is the tour at Graceland
tomorrow? The tour is usually about 90 minutes long, and it'll be some of the famous graves you see there. Of course, Eternal Silence, the Statue of Death. I couldn't possibly do a tour of Graceland without that one.
Yeah.
Some stories that you may never have heard of, some absolutely gorgeous mausoleums, some which have really great stories behind them, and some of which are just hidden behind these totally nondescript stones.
Who has the biggest grave, and then who has...
Biggest grave? I'm not sure who has the absolute biggest one.
Maybe
at
the top two, the large.
At Graceland, I know at Rose Hill, the biggest obelisk is for Long John Wentworth, who was mayor of Chicago, and tore down the neighborhood on the other side of the river from us one time.
What?
It was called the Sands. The Chicago Tribune described it is not ornamental to our morals. So one day, a guy just bought up most of the buildings, and Mayor Long John Wentworth went and just tore them all down. So now he's got the largest obelisk, and it tells about him, like his mayor, congressman, etc. But supposedly, he wanted it just to have his name, so people would see this enormous obelisk and then rush off to the library to find out all about this Wentworth guy.
Wow. Roland Burris.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's something I noticed just recently is you never see obelisks from the 20th century. I mean, you see a ton of them from the 1800s, almost never anything after that. My theory is that people became aware of Freud.
Oh, I see. That's a good point.
But, and there are like grave markers that are shaped, and I'm not sure what they're supposed to be, but... Yeah, they're embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
Don't
well,
bring
you,
the kids.
You could only be in a cemetery for so long before the inner seventh grader takes over. You've got all these reminders of death and mortality surrounding you, so it's only so long before all the names like Fanny and Johnson start to seem funny. And Rose Hill, I find, is especially conducive to that. Long John Wentworth is right next to the inventor of the mimeograph, A.B. Dick.
No.
And I've had nuns crack up.
That's going to be a good feeling.
So
Adam Selzer, he is the author of more than 24 books, including The Ghosts of Lincoln and H.H. Holmes, The True History of the White City Devil, The Ghosts of Chicago. That's it's like 25 books on the screen alone I'm looking at.
I did a lot of books back in the day.
It's amazing. He's giving a tour at Graceland tomorrow. You can find out more information.
MysteriousChicago.com.
More with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis. All things cemetery in Chicago with historian, author, and tour guide Adam Selzer, who joins us in studio. You can go to MysteriousChicago.com for information regarding his tour tomorrow, Graceland Cemetery.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of cemetery tours coming up, and also we just listed our next Astonishing Architecture boat tour that I do with Atlas Obscura.
Oh, excellent.
So August 21st, we're doing our next Astonishing Architecture boat tour. It's basically an architecture riverboat tour, as we have so many of in Chicago, but also with a lot more historical stuff than I would normally do on an architecture tour.
Oh, excellent.
Strange stories from history.
I love your backstories, too, and how you do the research and find out.
Tons and tons.
25
newspaper archives, legal archives, probate files, whatever I can find that I think might have something interesting.
For your...
Sorry, you missed it?
When you're writing, do you do a lot of voice-to-text? Or, I mean, or do you do all handwritten? Do you do typing? What do you do?
It's almost all typed for me. Okay. Sometimes I'll handwrite things.
Hold on a second. Scott didn't realize that he
was on the microphone. I apologize.
You were so funny. Yes, like, Scott. How was he today? And he turns to Dave Lundy, having a whole different conversation on the air. Well, let me...
the red light, Scott. The red light.
The red light. Okay.
I won't have a chance to show Adam or Dave Lundy pictures of the couch that we have ordered for our office.
For the office, right.
So you and I have... You and I and Michael Heidemann all share one office.
Right. It's very, very small.
It's very small. It's the same size as the other shows that have maybe two people, some people, only one person in the office, all three of us can't have chairs at our desks.
Right.
So we have two chairs and we can kind of rotate through, but I thought it would be nice to have a little more seating in there so we can all have a conversation together when we're working on the shows.
Sure.
So I was showing you a selection of couches that also fold down. I can be rearranged.
Yeah.
And the one that we both liked was this cute little thing I didn't realize how little it was.
Well, and then when we were looking at it was cute. And we thought, and I thought it was going to be too big. And then we measured, and you're like, no, you think it'll be too big? And I went, no, it'll be perfect. It'll go from the wall to the door. Because it's a sliding door, like your patio door would be.
Yeah, and I think if we put them next to each other, that it would probably be about almost that long enough.
But
that's not the problem.
No,
the problem is Scott was here when I decided to open the box.
We
put it together. It was interesting because all the legs and the bolts and all the innards were inside each part of the couch.
Yeah, you know the cloth part underneath it.
Yeah, you have to zip it and reach in there for all the parts.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So that part was weird already.
It looks good.
When we got the legs out, we started putting them on. It looks like children's furniture.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it's for your doll.
It looks very tiny. It doesn't look like if you put it together, it would even be long enough to be a couch.
It's the American Girl couch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
But that being said, it's very cute.
So, it also can work like a bench.
Yes, children's furniture often.
It might be the way we sort of leave it, but I did it the way it is now, like in a little L shape.
Oh, I like that.
You like the bench better, kind of?
I like it how you have it now. It's almost like you're laying there getting therapy.
Yes, and that's what we were all. That's why we took that picture. Okay. Yes.
By the way, I have to say, I think that what people will most appreciate about that story is they're getting a real sense to the glamour that goes on in media, where the cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune and the host of the WGN radio program are working together to assemble their own furniture. The glamour that is radio.
A couch that is cost me $150 on Amazon.com.
Yeah.
So it's like, I guess I should have known.
Apparently you pay by the foot. It's really small.
But the material is nice.
It is.
Oh, you know what?
It's pleather.
You think it was inches and it was actually centimeters?
Here was the thing is I didn't look at the description of the legs.
We measured. It said that it has how long it was.
Yeah, the length.
Maybe it was written by a man. Wait, is it late enough for me to make that joke?
It's the height of the legs that is the problem.
Yeah.
So the legs are only about maybe 4 or 5 inches high.
So it's like a futon.
So
almost.
If you put enough sugar packets under there.
Yeah. And everyone was coming in my office and just laughing at it. So so Sarah Timon was like, it looks like something in an Asian tea shop.
Oh, it does. Yeah, it's delicate.
Well, now I know what's on my exit strategy is to go by your office.
Because I do not have long legs. I'm sitting on this thing, and my knees are about at shoulder height. I mean, that's how bad this thing is.
Hey, Aubrey, are you on yet, or you haven't started? I always like, do I have to go in there? I pushed something.
He's walking away. Yeah. Are you hearing an echo again?
Oh, the whole time. Here, hold on a second.
Okay,
Maybe
is it the headphones? Do you want another pair?
So anyway, Andrea, like I was saying, this is what it sounds like. That's why I'm having a tough time talking to you. Yes, this is what.
Cleveland.
Nobody else is hearing this.
The life of the studio.
I didn't push anything, Aubrey. Is it that one? Here we go. Anyway, so Aubrey,
I told you it's one of Rose's machines.
Let me see.
Because
this is why we can't have
nice
studios.
There's so many monitors.
Live
there.
Radio.
There we go. Yeah,
there's so many.
Aubrey's so fast. See,
there's so many monitors there that they're moved forward and they hit the board on which you're using.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all better. I don't feel like I'm tripping on acid anymore. Thank you, Aubrey.
Did you change the reverb? What did you do?
I don't know what he did, but which button did you push so I can push it next time? Am I allowed to push that button? Which one? I wasn't even anywhere near that button.
I didn't see her near the button.
All right. So it was this that came down. I thought it was this. And the FX? Okay. I was getting nauseous hearing that song.
I would too, because I didn't realize it was that bad.
No, it was really bad.
Until I put your headphones on.
It's all good. Anyway, so have you ever ordered anything like furniture? I've actually had pretty decent luck with clothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it doesn't fit or whatever, I return it. But this is different.
Oh, yeah, completely.
This would be very, I mean, we could have returned it, but mm-hmm. I should have asked you if you actually like it.
No, don't.
I would pay exactly, however much you paid for it, $150. I would pay $150 not to have to disassemble it and put it in a box and return it.
When I was selling my condo, I had to stage it. So I had to buy like a little kitchen table. I got rid of the kitchen table. I had to stage it. Putting a kitchen table together and taking it apart and trying to return it to the store, it's awful.
Yeah.
It fell apart in my car, so I had to have two guys come out and help, like, basically carry the parts in. And they still took it back.
They'll take it back.
So this is like a futon thing, right?
It is.
Just struck me. It's for college students. The legs and stuff. I mentioned the material underneath. There's a zipper. That's where you keep your stash, man.
Okay, more after this on 720 WTN. Don't tell anybody, man. Friday night now, Andrea, for the most part, I try, unless there's pretty big news stories, I try to avoid spending too much time talking about politics, especially some of the national news. And now, of course, obviously, it's also that counts as international news. This week, we talked about it because that was just too much.
Well, yeah.
That was a lot.
It's like the elephant in the room.
Yes.
You know, you have to have a discussion about it, or at least bring it up.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, we did the right thing.
Exactly. And we found ways to talk about it that weren't necessarily focused on the specifics of what happened between President Trump and Vladimir Putin, and we've tried to do our best, but because I save it for Friday, it all builds up, and we save it so we can freak out a little bit,
right?
And some people aren't freaking out. Sometimes I'm too tired to freak out.
Doesn't it seem? I know, right? Doesn't it seem like the
seems like
not.
A month ago?
Doesn't it seem like last week or like 2 weeks ago?
No.
I know.
Yeah.
Well,
how much wood?
How much wood would a woodchuck? Chuck, if a woodchuck wouldn't, Chuck would.
Yeah, I don't know if he would.
Even the separating kids thing seems like it was forever ago, and it's still going on.
Right. Well, there was
we kind of forget all about that this week.
There was one woman who was reunited with her child in Honduras today. So, I mean, like, they're still trying to track kids, yes.
Well, and they just reported that they've only reunited 384 out of 2,600 kids.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
And the deadline is next week.
Yeah.
We're not going to make that.
We knew when the deadline was set.
Everybody knew that.
Well, that's the extended deadline is next week.
They can extend it all they want. They never intended to reunite those kids.
Right. What were we saying, Andre?
That.
So, a lot of, like, let's watch other people talking over each other. Don't want to drown anybody out because we only have two more segments left. We are done at 8:30 tonight. The White Sox play. Andy Mazur will be here at 8:35. I don't
know. Go Sox.
What'd you say?
Go Sox.
Yay, baseball. day when the Cubs did so poor. Look at me and Dave in our lovely Cubby blue.
Cubs game was really amazing. And it wasn't just amazing because...
Oh, I should give the final score. Sorry, it was 18-5.
18-5.
Oh, final.
John Lester gave up 8 runs and didn't get out of the 4th inning. And the Cubs have a doubleheader tomorrow, and then they have a game on Sunday. And so Joe Maddon was hit with this problem of, oh my God, I'm going to be out of pitchers, because he ran through three relievers plus John Lester. And so in the, I believe it was the 6th inning or the end of the 5th inning, Tommy La Stella, one of the best pinch hitters in the league, Tommy La Stella came in and pitched, and then he came back out in the 6th, and then Victor Caratini, the backup catcher, pitched, and then in the 9th inning, Ian Happ pitched.
Yep.
And if they had gone to extra innings, I was ready. I couldn't have been much. Well, actually, I take it back. It was funny because you're seeing fastballs in the mid 60s.
Yeah.
And a curveball that was 51 miles an hour.
Don't you remember when Mark Grace pitched? Or they had run out of pitchers,
that's
and
right.
Gracie pitched like half an inning
that.
Or something. It was the same type of thing. And
it was
probably
one.
After smoking like a.
It was like
a
one inning.
Marlboro.
This was 3.5 innings.
What's your fastball?
My fastball is by 12.
I was at a minor league game and they had the gun and the thing and the kids and they said, and I stood up and I hit, I actually won like something because I hit the same speed two times in a row. It was 57.
Wow. Nice.
That's my fastball. And then these kids come up after me, and three kids in a row were like,
they're just gunning it.
Yeah, just 20 miles an hour faster. I just went, well, mine had better movement.
There you go. Well, speaking of fastballs.
No.
That's a nice segue.
It seems as though there is audio of the president.
I know.
Working and on a offer to pay off a former Playboy model. Will we ever hear the audio, or is it something? And how do we know?
Why? Oh yeah, we're hearing that.
We're going to hear the audio.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Well, how do we know about? I mean, is the FBI releasing this information, or is it being leaked now?
I'm sure it's being leaked by Lanny Davis, who works for Michael Cohen.
Right. But Lanny Davis also said today, though, it's not going to hurt Trump, or it's not going to hurt Cohen.
It's not going to hurt Cohen, but
right.
No, it's just a payoff.
Of course, that's his lawyer. You know, so.
Just a payoff to a Playboy model, but
porn star.
He had been saying he
she's
didn't
not
know
a porn
about
star.
That payoff.
Who?
That Wait, Stormy. Which, di- which no, no. This is not the Stormy Daniels.
Well, it's a different payoff.
Yeah. This is the Karen McDougal payment. Okay. But to me, everybody's getting very excited about this story. I was like, yeah, well, we knew that the feds raided his office, and we knew that they got all these recordings that he did. I assumed these were in them, but apparently, when Trump found out, he got very angry and is reported to have saying, I can't believe Michael would stab me in the back like that.
Oh, no.
Oh, get ready, Donnie.
Okay, Kettle.
I was going to say, really? Well, now, I mean, come on. Now he knows what America feels like after that press conference.
Yeah, exactly.
That was such a, it's been such a strange week.
Yeah.
To see the press conference, to listen
it was
to it.
So I both, surreal.
It was. And then the walk back was really weird. And there's a lot of reports that President Trump was very angry on Air Force One, and not just because it's not newly painted yet, but because he didn't understand why people were mad at him.
Right.
You know, I can I say something? For the first time, I don't know why, I felt badly for President Trump this week. Yeah, I don't...
Nope. Wait, what are you talking about,
Penny? Which day and which part?
Just thinking about him flying back, not understanding why even his supporters and even Fox News were very angry with him. And I thought, like, that must feel so weird.
See, I love it when I know he feels bad.
I don't... It was strange to me, just thinking about it, and how much he now more than ever needs his supporters, his voters. I'm just saying, it just... Right. Believe me, I was surprised. But I just was thinking about what that... And then for the people on the flight, all these people who are working really hard to explain to him what he should and shouldn't do in these situations, and everyone scrambling, trying to figure out how to fix it. Like, this is complete chaos, and we are talking about international affairs, and he didn't get why it was bad.
Right. Actually, I think the Karen McDougal thing was a domestic affair.
There you go. No, I'm talking about his trip back from Helsinki. Yes. But for all the things that we talk about, this is crucial that somebody gets this right at some point, and it doesn't feel like anybody knows how to get a handle on it.
No, and he doubles down by this now, what was it, today, yesterday, announcing that he's trying to set up a summit meeting with Putin in Washington, D.C. in the fall.
And that came out during Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats' live interview. In the middle of the interview, Andrea Mitchell interrupts and says, we just have this breaking from the White House via tweet. And I watched this all live in real time. It was really stunning. And as soon as she said breaking from the White House via tweet, Dan Coats gets this look on his face like, literally, you could see the reaction. And then she says, Vladimir Putin is... President Trump is inviting Vladimir Putin to the White House in the fall, and Coates is just like stunned, and he says, well, that'll be special.
Wow.
He was just, and Dan Coats, for those who don't remember, was a conservative Republican senator from Indiana for like 18 years, a super low-key guy. This is as low-key gets, and this was his version of an absolute fit. He was just absolutely in hysterics. It was bizarre. And he's, you know, and then, of course, when the Trump White House saw what he did, they got very angry at him because he was off message.
Oh, boy. Well, here from comedian Julie Paradise. Somebody breaks in your house, you get a better security system. You don't ask the burglar over for dinner. But Trump did that. Yep, he invited Putin to the United States in the fall.
Yeah, it seems like this is like a do-over or something. It's the strangest thing.
To screw it up even more bigly. I got to go to the break. We'll hold all those thoughts. More after this on 720 WGN. Podcast, Patty Vasquez with Andrea Darlis on WGN. And we saved the biggest stories of the week for Friday. We actually never talked about the woman, Maria Bettina, who infiltrated the NRA. And she might have been laundering money through that. I don't know. There's right. money and there's NRA and there's
we played
prayer breakfast.
Some audio from her earlier this week. Yeah, that's a very interesting story. I can't wait till that goes to trial.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, though, Patty, the oh my God, what am I reading? I think is what Donald Trump said when he was going through that hostage
yes.
script.
Yes.
Was oh my God, what am I reading? But
did you
anyway.
Like the notes that were on it? Collusion spelled with one L, and he scratched off. We will bring these perpetrators to justice,
yes.
meaning the 12 Russians who were indicted. Yes,
yes.
You can find that online.
I keep cracking up picturing him finishing his no collusion. So he's saying no collusion, no siree. I wish you'd throw in a no siree there.
No siree. Yeah. Oh, that would be great.
It's implied.
And I really hope some reporter has the guts to be a hero and ask Maria Bettina if she will please say it is always moose and squirrel. And
well, so Maria,
yes.
For those who don't know, this is the woman who was arrested and indicted for basically the term of art in spycraft is she was a honeypot. She was tried to sleep with various people in order to ingratiate herself into the Republican political circles, the NRA. She became a celebrity within NRA circles. She had a quote-unquote relationship with this 56-year-old, but it turns out she was sleeping with him under orders and was privately complaining about the fact that she was stuck having to live with this guy.
Right.
I will just say this. Watch this space, because from what I've heard from my sources in Washington, she is a key to the collusion aspect. And she also had a relationship, or she had some kind of relationship, and I'm not suggesting sexual, with Don Jr.
Oh.
The NRA may have laundered tens of millions of dollars for Russia to send into the Trump campaign. And so she's the key to that investigation. So she is there's a reason that they arrested her and wouldn't let her leave the country and now have her held without bond.
Wow. And I need to go back and watch The Americans again.
Oh, my God.
It's 100%
that.
It's
a great show.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's 100% that.
Really?
Right. I mean, there's video of her at the prayer breakfast. Didn't President Trump, I don't know if he was running at the time.
There's pictures of him with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Right, which means that she was successful at ingratiating herself.
Oh, she was very successful, yeah.
At getting her closer to the people who could put her in position to meet people like that.
Right.
Scott, you were telling us, was it off the air? You were telling us how she was kind of discovered?
One of the stories I'd heard is that an older gentleman at an NRA function was approached by her, and she's like funny and touchy and something. He's, looks like, well, me. And he's going, he went back to people and went, what the hell is this? Who is she? What is she? I mean, this is, what?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that didn't work on him, so she went on to other flowers to work on.
Well, but don't these guys, I mean, do they just think it's funny that she's, ha-ha, like, they would, you imagine them making jokes like, I'm sleeping with a Ruski, I bet she's a spy, I'm like, bet she's former KGB.
Well, the funny part.
She got a medal from the FSB, too.
Well, the funny part is that, so, she was, her cover story is that she claimed she was trying to start an NRA-type organization in Russia. And the fact that people bought that, it's such idiocy. You're not allowed to do things like that in Russia. First of all,
it's
not like there's a gun rights movement. But also, you're not allowed to just, it's like, oh, I'm going to start an organization and we're going to, it doesn't work that way over there. Not something like that.
Is this going to end up being connected to that surprisingly large number of Republican congressmen who were in Moscow for the 4th of July?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. You didn't hear this?
Yeah. Well, that was weird.
Yeah. Where else would you rather be?
There were eight Republican.
Why would you do that?
Right. Eight Republican senators who were in Moscow for the 4th of July, and then including Ron Johnson from neighboring Wisconsin in the WGN radio listener area. They came back and they were like, oh, this Russia thing is overblown.
Wow.
And you're like, wow, okay, well, mission accomplished, Vlad.
I remember how furious people got when Obama spent a Memorial Day at a cemetery in Chicago instead of in Arlington.
Well, remember how furious people got when Obama wore a tan suit.
I remember well, that was beyond the pale.
Remember when he ordered Dijon mustard on his hamburger?
Right. Right. I mean, if we can only get the Republicans to be as angry about selling out to Russia and selling out your own intelligence agencies to Russia as we could about them being mad about Obama and his tan suit.
Well, okay, one, I'm guessing that Scott was not upset about the tan suit.
I was not. I thought it was ridiculous.
And my guess is that you are upset about President Trump.
This is infuriating. He sold my country down the river. He threw him under the bus to hell with him. I'm sorry. This is, as a conservative, as a Republican, as someone who came up under and worked on the Reagan campaigns in 1884, saw how you actually fight against the evil empire, yeah, you betcha. This is infuriating.
It is fascinating to read Joe Walsh's Twitter feed.
I know.
Because he's talking all about how this is un-American, this isn't who we are, this isn't democracy, and even talking about how the president is accusing journalists of being fake media. He's saying that that's un-American. You may not like what somebody writes, but that's part of our Constitution. He even said in one of his tweets, the First Amendment is as important as the Second Amendment. You know,
right. Yeah. Well, and by the way, I would encourage anybody who's interested who thinks this is just some left-wing conspiracy, lefties like me and Scott Stantis, are just all up in arms about this and that there's just much ado about nothing. I would encourage them to read an op-ed in the New York Times. Okay, I know it's the New York Times, but it's written by Will Hurd, a conservative Republican congressman from Texas who's a former undercover CIA agent, who said, over the course of my career as an undercover officer in the CIA, I saw Russian intelligence manipulate many people. I never thought I would see the day when an American president would be one of them.
It's so bizarre.
Wow.
Let's take a break here. More in a moment on 720 WGN. We're going to the Sox game and just the coverage in just a few moments.
Go tonight. The Sox are back at it on the West Coast as they take on Seattle. Andy Mazur's late pregame starts at 8:35. Ed and DJ have the first pitch at 9:10.
In the flagship home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
Looking to secure financing on a new home or refinance your existing home? Then you need to call Team Hochberg. When securing a mortgage, you can either work with other lenders whose definition of low closing costs are over $1,000 higher than ours, or you can call Team Hochberg at 312-751-1333 or visit WGNDavid.com. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of WGN listeners, but we can't help if you don't call 312-751-1333 or visit WGNDavid.com. Pro Mortgage and Closing Lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage License T4358. Nonetheless, 1-8-186.
Deck season rolls around every year. Staining your deck shouldn't. That's why the Home Depot now carries number one rated Olympic stains, including Olympic Maximum from only $33.98 a gallon. It's a brand trusted for over 80 years to protect season after season. So do it right with Olympic. And next year, you won't have to do it at all. Olympic Stain, for the first time at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Number one rating from an independent consumer study, U.S. only, see store for details.
Beginning in 1930, it's the world's longest running Christian outreach radio program. And it's right here on WGN, the Lutheran Hour, Sunday morning at 6.
PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Cappell here, serial entrepreneur. We entrepreneurs innovate, create jobs, and put employees on our payroll. Then we pay payroll taxes, which allows the government to function. Without entrepreneurs, we'd all be in a soup line somewhere. Speaking of innovation, Patriot Software is disrupting the archaic billion-dollar payroll industry for 1 to 100 employees. Our customers usually rate us 5 out of 5 stars. We're scaling quickly and inviting accredited investors to buy stock in Patriot Software under Reg D, Rule 506C. Need a new payroll provider? Or want to own stock in the rising star of the payroll industry? Visit PatriotSoftware.com. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
Keep your time and money. Well, Andrea, seems that we have the shortest show we've ever done.
I know, right? Yeah. And we've had a full week of shows, too.
I know.
So this has been great.
And so we'll do the same thing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We'll have 7 to 8:30 shows.
Perfect.
So we'll have Jen Zanotti on Monday. I can't remember. We've got a lot of fun things lined up. Have a wonderful weekend.
You do the same.
Thank
and good
you.
Luck with the interviews and with the characters.
Oh, yes. I'm very excited about
that.
I want to thank our guests for joining us. Adam Selzer, again, for the tour at Graceland.
And MysteriousChicago.com.
And catch all of all of Scott Stantis' artwork for the Chicago Tribune. Is it their political cartoonist at?
ChicagoTribune.com/Stantis.
And better luck next time having a Cubs day for Aileron Communications.
Yeah, it was fun.
Dave Lundy. It is time now for our news, sponsored by Penny Mustard Furnishings. Here with everything you need to know is Andrea Darlin.